So this knowledge that was known by the Buddha in India, this knowledge arises from the developing of awareness, the developing of sati. When we move and we develop sati to know our movement, then this accumulates. And when it is full, when it is thriving, when it has grown up, then it becomes knowing. This knowing arises. And this knowing is not a knowing outside ourselves, which is the knowing of thought, but this is the real knowing, the knowing inside ourselves, the knowing of ourselves and of what we are. And when we know this, then we know rupa nama, we know body and mind, and we know rupa acting and nama acting. As the body acts and the mind acts, they act together and we know it. And we know rupa disease, nama disease. There are two kinds of rupa disease, nama disease. First is the disease of the body. When the body is sick, we can go to the doctor. The doctor can examine us and give us medicine. Sometimes he gives us medicine and we become better quite quickly. Other times we have to take this medicine for a long, long time before we become better. And other times we can take this medicine for a long time and we do not become better. We must die. So there are three ways in which the doctor's aid may affect us. But with the second kind of rupa disease, nama disease, the disease of the mind, we have to develop sati. We have to depend on the developing of sati. So this disease, the disease of the mind, which is anger, delusion and greed, may be cured. After knowing this, then we know dukkha, anicca, anatta. Dukkha is our very being. Each of us is dukkha. Turning the hand up and turning the hand down is dukkha. Breathing in and breathing out is dukkha. Blinking the eyes is dukkha. Swallowing saliva is dukkha. Every movement is dukkha. We are a lump of dukkha, a lump of suffering. And we also know anicca, impermanence. Impermanence, anicca, means that it cannot be stopped. If we do not move our hand, then the eye blinks up and down. If we do not blink the eye, then we breathe in and out. And if we try not to breathe, then we think, thoughts arise. We cannot stop the moving. The movingness must continue. And this is anicca. And anatta means not self. It means that we cannot control it. We cannot control this thing. This rupa nama cannot be controlled. That it must go ahead according to its own duty. And after understanding this, then we understand samuti, convention. The convention is very, very extensive. It is impossible to describe the full extent of convention in our lives, convention in this world. For example, male and female are convention. Ordaining, being a monk or being a samanera is convention. So this Buddha image here is convention. Convention is something that ordinary people are attached to. They're constantly attached to convention. Convention is also things like ghosts, deities, spirits, and so on. All these things are convention. And unless we really know convention, then we must live attached to convention. Why is it that we attach to convention? We attach to externality. It is because we don't know. It is because we don't really know. This not knowing is called in the scriptures avijja, ignorance. And it is because of this ignorance, because of not knowing, that we do wrong, we speak wrong, and we think wrong. It is because of this not knowing that we attach and we suffer. This not knowing is the thing that deceives us and it gives rise to evil in our lives. After this, we know religion and we know Buddhism. We have heard the words about this, that religion is the teaching of one who knows, and that Buddha means the one that knows. But we just know the words. When we develop sati, and the sati is full, it is filled up, then we have the knowledge arise, and then we know that religion is the person, every person. Each individual is religion. When a person knows, then they must teach the thing that they know. The teaching end is the ear. Every human being has an ear, whether they are Chinese or Thai or French, whatever that human being is, he has an ear for the teaching to enter. So each human being is religion. Buddhism is the one that knows. The Buddha is the one that knows, which is Sati, Samadhi, Panya. So when we know the one that knows, then we understand. We know evil and we know grace. Evil means darkness, stupidity, not knowing. Evil comes from ignorance. People that are ignorant teach other people that are ignorant. And the listeners believe what they are taught and do as they are taught, because both the teacher and the follower are ignorant. They do not know. So when we do not know, we can be deceived. We are deceived by people. But when we know, we have grace. Grace means the developing of sati, to have awareness, to have feeling, to feel oneself, to know oneself, means grace. It means to be intelligent, to be clever. I have understood religion and Buddhism and evil and grace from that day until this day. I have understood it. This knowledge arises in the mind of each person that develops sati, that develops feeling of themselves, awareness of themselves. Each person, when they know themselves, this is what they will know in their own mind. So this knowledge is the knowledge of rupa nama, and it is the first step. When we know this, we know rupa nama, but we still do not know nama rupa. At that time, I continued my practice after I knew this, and I walked backwards and forwards doing walking meditation. At that time, I had never seen and known thought. I had never seen and known the subtle thought. I knew thoughts in the way that all people know their thoughts. I knew when I was working and when I was thinking about working and looking for food and thinking about this and that. But thought itself I had never seen. I did not know the characteristic of thought. At that time, as I was walking backwards and forwards, a thought arose, and I felt that thought. And I wondered to myself, who had come? I thought somebody had come. The second time the thought arose, then I saw it, I knew it, and I understood it. And the third time the thought arose, then I knew its characteristic. I understood thought completely. When we know the characteristic of thought, and we see thought at its source, then we know nama rupa. When we see thought every time it thinks, then we know the ending of dukkha. So when we see thought and we know the source of thought, then we understand vatu. Vatu, there are two kinds of vatu. There is external vatu, which are trees and mountains and cloth and air, and all the things outside us are vatu. And there is internal vatu. Internal vatu is our body and the mind that moves. And this is also vatu. It is also material. When we have seen the source of thought, we have seen thought as it arises, at its source, and we have seen the mind, then we know vatu, and we know the characteristic of the mind, and we know paramatta, we know the actuality, which is nama rupa. Knowing paramatta means that we contact the mind as it moves. First we contact the body as it moves, and when we know the actuality, the paramatta, then we contact the mind as it moves. And as the mind moves, we touch it and we know it, we feel it and we know it. And we know its characteristic, which is changingness. It can change completely. When we know this, when I knew this, then I understood anger, delusion and greed. Anger, delusion and greed are like three trees, and the middle tree is delusion. Delusion just means not knowing, means ignorance. And it is because of not knowing, because of ignorance, that the other two exist, the other two can arise. So we understand the characteristics of these three things. It is because of ignorance, because of not knowing, moha, that we can have anger, which is to be troubled, to be heated. And we can have lobha, which is greed. When I saw this, I will speak about myself, but for each person that practices in this way, the same knowing arises. When I saw this, then I was free from convention, I was free from samuti. When I saw this, it was as if, up till then, I had been carrying a weight of 100 kilograms, and when I knew this, it was as if 80 kilograms were discarded immediately. Everyone that knows this, it will be as if at least 60 kilograms is discarded. For me, speaking for myself, it was as if 80 kilograms was discarded. And I knew my experience. I knew experiencing free of suffering, free of dukkha. I knew feeling without dukkha. And I knew memory, sanya, without dukkha. And I knew the action of the mind, the concocting action of the mind, sankhara, without dukkha. And I knew consciousness, vijnana, without dukkha, without suffering. Vijnana just means tanya. When there is no suffering, it is tanya, it is wisdom or knowing. And I have been free of suffering from that day until this. When I knew that, then I knew what it meant to be venerable, what it means to be a monk, to be a Buddha. So at that time, I understood divine eye and divine ear. Divine eye and divine ear are not the kind of mystical powers that they are normally understood and explained as being. That if we have divine ear, then sitting here we can listen to somebody speaking in a very great distance away. And having divine eye, we can see what is happening somewhere else, and we can see the future, we can know lottery numbers and so on. But I understood divine eye and divine ear when I knew this characteristic of the end of suffering. When I knew feeling, memory, intention and consciousness free of suffering, when I knew these four aggregates free of suffering, then I understood what it was, what is meant by the term deity, God. This thing is deity, the mind of each person, which is vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. These four aggregates are what is meant by deity. Not the five aggregates, rupa. The fifth aggregate is the body, and the body has nothing to do with this. This is simply the mind itself. The mind itself is a deity. And when we can see the mind, when it thinks, and whatever movement it does, we can see that mind, and that is called to have divine eye. And it is something that an ordinary person doesn't have. An ordinary person does not see their mind, and they do not have the divine eye. Divine ear means that when we listen to somebody talking Dharma, we know if it is true or not. We know if what they are saying is really Dharma or is not Dharma. And this is to have divine ear. At that time, after I had this, when I had this first knowledge arise and I knew Nama Rupa, there were many things that I knew, but I will only talk about things that are necessary. So I continued my practice. I walked backwards and forwards, and not long afterwards I had knowledge arise, understanding arise for the second time. And when the second knowledge arose, then I knew kilesa, I knew tanha, I knew upadana, and I knew kamma. Kilesa, defilement, is that which is sticky. It is stickiness, the stickiest there is. It is sticking to the world. When we are stuck to the world, that is kilesa. Tanha means wanting, means desiring. Upadana means attachment. And kamma, action, constitutes dukkha because of these three things. But when we understand these three things, when we understand kilesa, tanha and upadana, then action, kamma, constitutes non-suffering. It constitutes suffering when we do not know, we do not see these three things. When we practice in the correct way, then this knowledge will really arise. So after this second knowledge, I continued to practice, but I was tired. I felt weary, so I went to sleep. I slept not a long time. I am somebody that does not sleep a lot. It is called to sleep little, to eat little, to talk little. And after 2 or 3 hours, I awoke, I arose, and I continued my practice. And knowledge arose, knowledge occurred for the third time. After I was practicing, I was using illumination from oily wax, and as I walked backwards and forwards, I saw a centipede. I went looking for the centipede because I was afraid it would bite me, but I could not find it, so I came back and continued to practice. And as I practiced, normality of body, normality of speech, and normality of mind arose in me, and I understood sila, I understood ethics or morality or normality.